Now, I'm not sure that I could think of a bigger change that happened in my own life than when I became a dad. You know, that's a pretty significant one. You know, perhaps until I became a father of two and then of three, those were pretty significant as well. But I remember being ready to come home from the hospital for the first time with our little baby girl. And I don't know if either of us said it out loud or if we were just thinking it as you're buckling that little one into the car seat, thinking, like, are they really going to let us just take a baby home? And then you realize so quick that you're in over your head. You know, that distinct and awful feeling of being up in the middle of the night with a crying baby and you just don't know how to make it stop. Or you're covered in spit up and you wonder, like, how was there that much milk in this small of a person? Or when you realize that changing a diaper on a real baby involves so much more wrestling than it did on the doll in the parenting class. You know, all of those things. Or you just get to a certain point where you're like, wow, I am just tired all the time. And you think, why didn't anybody tell me about this stuff? Like, how come nobody tells you what it's really like? Well, everyone who has had kids knows the answer to that question, right? We did tell you. We did tell you. But it's almost like until that moment, you hear it, but you don't hear it. Life is like that in a lot of ways. It's not just parenting. You know, sometimes we're in a place in life or our life experiences, our attitude, our humility or our pride, the posture of our heart may put us in a place where we either are or are not able or willing to hear the things that other people say, for better or worse. Jesus would often end his teachings, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." The phrase occurs 15 times in the New Testament, 8 in the Gospels, and then 7 in the words of Christ found in the book of Revelation. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And I don't think it's because Jesus thought he was talking to a group of people, some of whom did and some of whom didn't have ears. I don't think that's what he thought. I think he understood the truth that just because sound goes in doesn't mean that we've heard or listened or taken to heart what we're hearing, right? It's exactly what's going on in these texts that we've read today, and we're going to dig deeper into this week's chapter of the story, where we're continuing to explore the life of Jesus. And today we're focusing on Jesus as a teacher, Jesus as the great rabbi. And my hope in doing so today isn't that I would try and cover the breadth and depth of the teachings of Jesus, but rather that we would come away from today with a desire to truly hear what Jesus has to say. My hope is that we might find a new or renewed posture of our hearts and minds that seeks to both hear the words of Christ and to do what they say. Now, today we read two texts that have nearly the same message. The first from Jesus: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock." And then again, we heard from James, who's the brother of Jesus, from James chapter 1. He says, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And then James builds on it a little bit. He says, "Whoever looks into the perfect law that gives freedom is and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but also doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Jesus and James both make a meaningful distinction between merely hearing the teachings of Jesus. Merely hearing the word of God and doing what it says. They said that we aren't just to hear the words of Jesus. We are to heed the words of Jesus. And to truly hear is to hear and to do what it says. The texts today say that obedience to the words of Christ is both a wise way to live and a blessed way to live. This is not a trick question. Who wants to be wise and blessed? Right? That sounds good, doesn't it? You will be blessed if you do it. The wise person is the one who hears my words and puts them into practice. Seems like an obvious question, and yet so many Christians live as if being a baptized, forgiven, Holy Spirit-filled child of God, but then continuing to live in sin is like having the best of both worlds. It's like, I'm so glad that I'm saved and loved by God so that I can keep on doing whatever I want. It's like hearing the word but not doing what it says. Like having ears but not truly hearing. Now, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yet, how often do we reserve parts of our heart for idols? For things that we worship instead of Christ. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, and yet so often, like those religious leaders questioning Jesus, we're looking for ways to parse out who we do and don't actually need to love. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And maybe we think, oh, well, that particular teaching is just for somebody else. Sometimes we just pick and choose the teachings of Jesus that we like, the ones that we want to apply to our lives. You know, I like this one over here, that one over there. But when Jesus says, forgive as you have been forgiven, maybe I'll get to it later. Love as you have been loved. I know, Jesus, but you know that's really hard, right? When Jesus says, if you look at someone with lust in your eyes, that's adultery. If you harbor anger in your heart towards someone, that's murder. And I'm not just standing up in a pulpit and preaching at you. This is confession also. How often do we hear those and say, yeah, but I'm still going to do it? But that's not the way it works. What Jesus and James say about that kind of way, Jesus says it's like a foolish person who builds their house on sand. James says, don't just hear the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. It's not the way it works. You see, Matthew 7, it says, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. You see, the pick and choose, the I decide what I do and don't want to do in relation to my obedience to Christ, that is not the way it works, because Christ has a legitimate claim to authority in this world and in our lives. Did you recognize that when you're reading the words of Christ, when you're hearing the gospel, that it has a claim of authority in our lives? It's not just good advice that you could pick or choose based on what you want or don't want to hear. It has authority, and it isn't just because of what Jesus said. You know, it's not just because his teachings truly are wise and that you really are blessed in obedience to them. But it's because of who Jesus is, that he truly is one who has authority, because he is the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. He is the Son of God, and he is proclaiming the truth of God to us. He is a great teacher because he is the author of life. And who better to learn how to live a wise and blessed life than from the one who created it and gave it to us? And yet still the words of Jesus can be challenging. They can even seem harsh at times. And we can admit that. They can feel harsh because they set a bar for holiness that we could not possibly achieve by our own power. They're challenging because they call us to a life of love and grace and forgiveness, a life of courage and boldness that is beyond what we have the power to do on our own. It's challenging because it calls out to a people who want to live as lords of their own lives with the call to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. And yet, that is only harsh if you think that Jesus doesn't love you. It's only harsh if you don't think that Jesus is a good shepherd who pursues the wayward sheep, who lays his life down for them. We can think of the teachings of Jesus as harsh or demanding when we get so fixated on ourselves that we forget about the cross. When we forget that the one who calls us to pick up our cross and follow him, the one who is the great teacher and is worthy of being followed, is the one who first picked up his cross for us, though we were sinners and did not deserve it. And he led the way through death to new life, abundant life, and eternal life. I think we often struggle with the idea of obedience to Christ when we start thinking about it as the thing that determines whether or not you're saved. That our personal righteousness is the thing that determines whether or not we're loved by God. My hope for today is that the Spirit of God encourages your heart when it reminds you that you are saved by grace through faith. Not by what you do, not by your performance, that you will not stand before God one day and have to prove why you deserve to be let in. Rather, you'll stand before God one day and Christ will say, "This one's mine." I pray that the Spirit of God would give you the faith to have assurance in your salvation, that it is not at risk because it was bought for you at great price and given to you freely by Jesus Christ our Lord. But I also hope today that the Holy Spirit would give you the faith to believe this, that obedience to Christ is not for the sake of our salvation, but it is for our good. He wants us to experience the blessing of living the way that we were created to live, even in a world that has gone so awry. He wants us to experience the wisdom of clinging in thought, word, and deed to the truth of God, rather than being swayed by each new trend, idea, or fad that comes up. And so as I close today, I want to leave you with a bit of a challenge. And it's a challenge directly from the words of Christ. seek to be the wise person who builds their house on a rock, who hears the words of Christ and puts them into practice. Seek obedience to God. Be the one who hears what Jesus has to say with the desire and intent to do it. Try it and see if you experience God's blessing, his wisdom. Because the teachings of Christ are not the domineering commands of a tyrant, but the call and plea of the one who laid down his life so that we might live. He calls us, calls out to us. He says, don't follow the thief who only wants to steal and kill and destroy. Follow after the good shepherd and experience abundant life. As you read God's word, do so prayerfully. Ask that God would move your heart by his word, that he would convict you of sin in places in your life where it is out of line with God's will. As he does, try and live in obedience and ask that the power of the Holy Spirit alive in you would work it in you as well. Pray that when you come to the Word of God, you would do so expecting to encounter a treasure trove of blessing and wisdom, rather than just making sure you're getting to the end of that chapter of the story this week. You may find that as you do, God puts something on your heart. And maybe as we continue through the story, something stays with you. A verse, a teaching stays with you for days or weeks as you learn not to just hear what it says, but also experience the blessing of putting it into practice. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Amen.